איך אפשר לשפר, to improve, את התפילה שלנו. זאת אחת מהעבודות הכי קשות בעולם של עבודת השם. התלמידים של הבעל שם טוב ניגשו אליו, they came to him, and said, רבי, תגיד לנו, איך אפשר להבחין, how can you tell the difference between a חסידש הרב אמיתי, ו, how do you say imposter in Hebrew?
Shakra.
Shakra, mitchapes, someone who dresses up. Tachposet is costumes in Hebrew. כי בתחילת החסידות, in the beginning of חסידות, there were a lot of people who were running around the countryside making believe they were חסידי שרבי. This was like an organized revolution. Oh, you get your smicha and you're a חסידי שרבי. It was a countercultural revolution. It was an anti-establishment. It wasn't supposed to be the regular rabbanim. They felt the regular rabbanim become too disconnected from the people. So there's like this whole new wave of people going through the countryside, having refuahs, giving brachos, giving kameas, amulets. So many of them were real. Many of them were fakes. Especially dangerous because it was 100 years after the biggest sham and the biggest fake in Jewish history. What was the biggest sham in Jewish history? Shabbat Tzvi, 1666. So people were really, really nervous. Oh my goodness, here's another Shabbat Tzvi. So they asked Rebbe, Rebbe, tell us, Eich efshar lehavchin, to determine, boch mivchan, Eich efshar lehavchin, merav chasidi, lerav shemustam mitchapes, shakran, mizayef. What does mizayef mean? Forge, ziyuf. Mizayef means to forge. Ziyufe mizayfi in the Gemara Ksiris. Eich efshar lehavchin. So you know what the Baal Shem Tov told us, Talmidim, if any Rebbe says that he has a foolproof solution to Kavana during davening, he's a liar. It doesn't exist. Don't buy it. Like, no one knows how to solve tefillah. All of a sudden these Rebbe's tell you that they're going to solve tefillah for you. He's a liar. Doesn't exist. So how do you work on tefillah, guys, seriously? How do you solve tefillah? I deal with this a lot, obviously. Kids come up to me all the time. How do I improve my tefillahs? So the answer is, let's go back to the source. Bar nachzor limakor hadvarim. Makor, source. Tfilot kineged korbanot tiknum. As mitzad achad, one side, the tfilos are based on korbanos. Mitzad sheni, tfilot kineged avot tiknum. Hatfilot hem kineged anashim amitim, real people. Sheit palu lakadosh baruch hu. Ve'efshar listakel, to look, al tfilot shel avot, ve'emet ladat, Ech livnot tefillah, how to build it, koma koma. What does koma koma mean? Layer by layer. Ariach agabe ariach, brick by brick. As bo nachzor letefillah shel Abraham, ech hu itpadel. Ma hayta tefillato shel Abraham avinu? Ech Yitzchak itpadel. Ma chidesh Yaakov? Ve'im bemet nit maked, focus. Moked is focus, like you call the moked. Oh, we need someone to come put out the fire, like the central area where they handle all the calls. Im nit maked. Guys, this is your future language. One day you'll all be speaking this language. So listen up. This isn't French or Latin. This is one day your grandchildren. You're going to speak to your grandchildren. Zaydi, no more. Got to know how to speak some Hebrew, guys. So, Sava, take me for some barakas and chumas. What? Where's EJ's pizza? I don't know what EJ's pizza is. As Eich Avraham Avinu Hetbala. Matvila Shalabram Avinu. As the Torah Kotevet, Torah right, source number one, source number Aleph, Vashkem Avraham Avinu. El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham Et Pnei Hashem. What word in this pasuk describes Avram's tefillah? It's an easy one. Ein Amida. Amad. Ein Amida. Strange, right, Avram? The first time a person prays in history, Apam Rishon Asher Adam Mitpalel, Hatiur Taf Yud Aleph Vav Resh. The description, Hatiur Shel Atfilah Lo Mashu Miluli, verbal Mila, Ela Mashu Gufani, Guf. HaTorah אינה כותבת שאברהם התפלל או דיבר או סיפר או שיבח. HaTorah כותבת, Torah writes שאברהם עמד, he stood. Why? Everyone listen carefully to me, okay? Ben is a pick of papers on the floor. Okay, pick them up. Why? We'll teach you guys a little sidebar. Always have these sidebar lessons, okay? You want to think clear? You need to have a clear environment. Walk into a room, if there's dirt, pick it up. For two reasons. A, because you want to have to be a person of dignity, because you're a bentara. And if you have dignity for yourself, forget how people will see you. Just for yourself, you want to be mechabe Torah. Dress clean, think clean, act clean. And B, also, if you really want to think, and it's really important to think, guys. In today's world, something like, oh, you're an intellectual. It's like a compliment. Intellectualism is bad. Intellectualism means you're primarily intellectual, and it doesn't trickle down to your heart. It doesn't change your identity. But this is such a powerful tool that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you this tool. And you got to learn how to use it, really. We had an 11th grader. We who's complained to me, why should you take the Hebrew, why should you take the Bagrut in math? And believe me, the Bagrut makes the region seem like the kiddie pool. Trust me, it is really tests are really hard. I can't help them. And I'm a math major, like, come on, I don't know what I'm talking about. I say part of the reason is because I promise you, it'll help you learn Gemara. I promise you, it'll help you analyze. Please, please, guys, train your minds. Don't focus only on your minds, your heart, your neshama, your soul, your... I always tell people, I could be the principal of every American high school for a day. Let's say they made me king for a day, and I had one executive prerogative. Listen to me carefully, because some of you guys are going to fall into this trap next year, or 2 years from now. You know what I would do with my one prerogative? I would eliminate the valedictory. Why are we building systems that celebrate brain power? Who cares? Why is that important? It doesn't get you anywhere in life. It gets you a couple extra zeros in your salary, but that's not what matters in life. It's relationships, not accomplishments. It's people. It's why are we celebrating people that have more brain power? Like, who cares? And you know what the biggest victims are? The valedictorian. Because they spend 4 years hearing how great they are. And they never really look in the mirror and say, well, who am I really? And what has to be cleaned up a little bit? Because the whole world bows down to you and you get a ceremony. And believe me, I get all these guys and go, I break them down. Brick by brick. Say, stop, I could care less how smart you are. That doesn't make a difference to me. Who are you? Look in the mirror. What do you see looking back at you? Your wife is not going to care how smart you are. Your kids are not going to care how smart you are. And you know what? Your coworkers at a certain point could give 2 cents how smart you are. It's who you are as a person. If I were the head of a... In Israel, there's no valedictorian. If I were the principal of American schools, I would say, if you have to give an award, let's give an award to the best person. Let's sit down, all the teachers, make a list of the 10 most important traits, whatever those traits are. Dedication, modesty, compassion, sympathy, selflessness, whatever those traits are. Let's build a model of what type of person you want to become. And then rank all the kids based on those metrics. And whoever has the highest score, give them the best person. Like the best person award. Why are we creating systems that award intellectual? Intellectual activity is a trait. It's an important trait, but it's certainly not the seat of identity. It's certainly not the seat of a Avodas Hashem. And believe me, I've been in yeshiva long enough. I've seen a lot of guys who are brilliant who flame out after a couple of years. I've seen a lot of guys who are, average intelligence, but they work, and they schmitz, and they plug, and they learn, and they grow, and those are the guys who make it to the finish line. I promise you. I've been in yeshiva close to 40 years. I've seen a lot of flame outs. I've seen average guys who become really, really great. Doesn't take much. So it's important to develop your mind, guys, but not to see that as the seed of who you are, chas v'shalom. So, how do you improve your davening? Avraham isn't saying anything here. You know what the heart of davening is? And I want you to listen really carefully to me. I promise you, if you try this over the next 5 weeks, your davening is going to really, really improve. Stop trying to understand the words. Kavanah is overrated because it's really hard. And if you turn tefillah into a kavanah or nothing experience, you're probably going to fail most times. You walk away saying, I didn't have any kavanah because I was thinking about the game or my friends or sports or my girlfriend, whatever. You know, I think I have a hard time with kavanah. I'm not thinking about sports, games, and friends. I don't really speak about sugyas and content, but it's hard for me to focus after learning for 4 or 5 hours to get my mind on tefillah all the time. But you know what I really try to focus on? The fact that I'm standing in front of Hashem. I'm trying to think as much as possible. I'm standing in front of the Baal HaMachim Lachim. I'm not wandering here. Maybe I'm thinking about what I should be saying. Maybe I'm thinking about a sugya. Maybe I'm thinking about other things. But I know that I'm Omeid and I'm Makom Esher Amad Shem. Does anyone know when this pasuk appears? At what stage does this pasuk appear?
Right
before the Akedah. What?
Right before the Akedah.
Nope. I mean, it's before the Akedah, but not right before.
Stone.
What part of stone? Not right before? Classic mistake?
Right after.
What was he davening for? This is not the day before stone gets incinerated. This is the day after. What's the content? That doesn't interest us. That's not the Torah's message. I'm sure he had something to say to Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu that day, but it wasn't nearly as dramatic as what he said the day before. Please save 3 million people. The Torah is specifically spotlighting this tefillah because Avram had nothing to say, more or less. I mean, as dramatic as yesterday. But that's not the point. It's not what he said. It's the fact that he got up and he stood in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like he did the day before, just like he do Erev the Akedah, and he constantly stood in front of Hashem. You said it before, man. The Gemara in Bracha says, when Rebbe Elazar ben Horkanis, one of the greatest Tanaim, was put into Chayr for dozens of years, They couldn't talk to him because after which story? Anyone know the story? They put him in the Cheirim? So they finally visited him. He was about to die and the Cheirim was lifted. Could you imagine the scene? And all these times, could you imagine if the Gadol Hador, he was the Gadol Hador, was in Cheirim? You couldn't speak with him? And I don't want to say, Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Shalom. Could you imagine if you could never speak to Rav Shach? What would that even be? So Elizabeth Hurkin is about to die and they all come in and say, give us a couple last licks, you know, last bits of advice. And what did he say? The Gemara Bracha says, "Shatem is follow them. Du lifnei mi atem omdim." He didn't tell about more kavana. He didn't tell about more kavana. Read this safer. Read that safer. Just try to keep your mind riveted on the fact that you're standing in front of the Kisei HaKavod. And if you need to think about an actual throne, then it's fine. I'm a big believer, and I've asked Gedolim this question, that if the price to make Hashem more palpable is to make it more physical, as long as you know you're doing it just as a device, it's fine. My kids grew up with the sense that Hashem was their uncle, and he put them to bed at night. He's not their uncle, he didn't put them to bed at night. But he was in the room. I don't want to make Hashem in the room. That's why we're allowed to think of him as our father. Is he our father? No. Is he angry? No. Does he cry? No. Is he our husband? No. But Shlomo says, think of Hashem as your husband. And Moshe says, think of him as your father. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to make believe, because that's the way we're processed, because we love people and fathers and husbands and criers and not criers. And so we're allowed to make believe as long as when someone puts a gun to you and says, is Hashem crying? We don't know. Is Hashem your husband? So if you need to imagine, you know what I do? Seriously, since you guys were there Matzah Shabbos, you know what I do to get myself a little kavana? I look at Rav Aaron Smuggle. Because I saw such a davening. You know Rav Aaron davening like this? It was like a rabbi. He just stood there like an everlasting rabbi. But he wasn't screaming. Yay, Shay! Screaming. MTA guys? Any MTA guys still a little bit left today? He makes Rav Cohen look at him now. Did there ever be a conversation? And you could scream down in Yitzchak Cohen. Trust me on that one. Legendary Robin, why you scream Jeshme Rabbi. I promise you guys, this is the big mistake that kids make, that everyone makes. Oh, I want to improve my tefillah, let me go out and buy the next Sefer, the art school Sefer, the new Sefer I came out from, this rabbi who talks about it. And part of it is you guys have a linguistic block, because I spoke to one of my friend's sons who's in America now, like at one of the high schools, and boy, does he, and he really loves learning. He's in the Marsha Call, I think. What are they in the Marsha Call? He says, I hate learning with Americans. Because first they read it, then they have to translate it, then I guess read it, like understand it. Okay, he's a kid, obviously, there's nothing wrong with you guys. But like, why do they have to translate it? So for you guys, you're still translating, it's hard. One day you'll know Hebrew, you're not going to be a translator. You'll be able just to read Hebrew, speak Hebrew, but at this point, you're going to translate, understand, the time you read the bracha, every bracha will take you 15 minutes. Just don't let your mind go off to the game. Don't let your mind go off. Just say, I'm standing and talking. What I'm saying to Hashem, I don't know. Maybe I'm talking to Hashem about, I want to succeed today. Just try to honor the moment. Let me tell you how I try to honor the moment, okay? I don't wear a jacket when I daven in my normal life. Because where I come from, jackets aren't seen as a sign of respect. Here it is seen as a sign of respect. I don't wear a jacket. Because respect is very much contextual. In a certain context, you play by the rules, but you accord by the rules. But I'm always very careful to tuck myself in. I always dive with long pants. I always tell my kids, if you're in the I'll make sure you bring pants. But that's not like, you know, the end of the world. If you're in the middle of a forest and you have long pants, you dive in shorts. But I'm saying, if it's a 2-minute, 3-minute thing, a lot of kids who are going back to summer camps so are saying, I'm going to be a counselor in camp, give me some advice. I say, my best advice to you is put on long pants without me. That'll be the best example you can show your kids. Now again, if it's more than 5 minutes, don't. You can delay the davening, don't. But just if it's, you know, 2 minutes away, go back to your bunk, get the pants, or bring the pants to the baseball field, and just put them on the davening. I don't sit like this. See how I'm sitting? Relaxed, drooped, slouched. Like on my other leg, I will never sit like this during davening. I'm sitting in front of the Melech, Malchah, and Melechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I sit like this, I sit like this. Always my feet on the ground, and it's hard sometimes. I'm a little bit older person, my feet hurt me sometimes. I would never ever sit like this. I don't feel like it. You have it, Hashem? I tuck myself in, make sure my clothing are clean. You should see my makom in the basement. There's svara and dirt, papers, but I come and clean up my makom, put everything in order. I'm standing in front of my HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I make sure my kids don't leave tefillah before the final whistle. The final whistle means announcements, yigdal. You're there to talk to Hashem. You come early. You leave on time. You don't slouch. I can't control this, guys. My mind is racing. What I can control is this. I control everything else. Can't control this. I gave a high school a couple weeks ago. One of the high schools in America asked me to speak to the staff. At the end of the year, they wanted some guidance on next year. They said, how can we improve the spiel? They basically gave them the spiel. I said, forget the Kavanah. Forget Kavanah. It's a losing battle. Just work with your boys on honoring, and girls, as coach them. Work with them on honoring these spirits. Dress, timing, cleanliness, honor the experience. And I promise you, you'll be successful. But right before, clean up the floor, because if there's distraction in the room. I had a computer teacher who taught me a lot about life. When you go to college, part of going to college, you meet really interesting people. And they help you teach you about life. Not smart people. I care less about smart people. Good people. Caring people. Organized people. I used to walk into my computer teacher's room. This was in 1987, before there was laptops. And his desk was completely clean. There was nothing on the desk but a computer. Everything was guy's organization. Anyone hear of this? The Musa school in Kelm? One of the great, great Musa schools in Kelm. They felt, every Musa school found one mita that they thought was the mita. And in Kelm was organization. If you weren't disorganized, if you took a minute to look outside and see someone passing by, not because it was bittul Torah, because it would distract your thinking or discombobulate your thought. You know how davening started? People would show up to their makom, wait till everyone was there, stand near the makom, everyone was there. Then they start humming. Without people shuffling in, shuffling out, coming, going, everyone would stand by the makom. Fascinating, fascinating stories of Kelm. The Kelm Yeshiva. Still in front of Kelm, all these Kelm stories. Not true. Kelm were very, very bright people. The Prussian government actually sent the Minister of Education to visit the Kelm Yeshiva to see how to build a school, how to build an educational institution. Fascinating. Maybe during the year, I'll tell you a little bit about what else they did in Kelm. How else they were migrating in Kelm. So the first part of Tefillah, guys. The first part of Tefillah. You know how you do this, guys? You know it's so hard for you? Let me tell you Gemara in Brachas. Gemara in Brachas talks about a makom kavua. And it says, whoever has a makom kavua is a disciple of Avraham. Why is makom kavua associated with Avraham?
It says
Al-Makom. Why? Because if you're trying to imagine Hashem in front of you, and tefillah becomes basically about space, not about words, it's about space. Then if you dive it in the same space, it's just much easier to feel Hashem's presence. When I go into my little makom, if you saw Matzah Shabbos in the base matter for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you know how long it takes me to click into Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur mode? About 1 second. Because I've davened it for 35 years. And I have all these memories and imageries passing through my mind. I remember visiting my grandfather in Baltimore. Anyone have grandparents in Baltimore? Go back to Baltimore. Want to go back to Baltimore? I thought one of you guys go back.
I used to live there.
Right. So I remember visiting my grandfather in Baltimore in the old German shul that were dominated in the 70s. And these old wooden benches. And all of a sudden I would walk in and daven there and say, it hit me that my grandfather davened, and your grandparents, or your great-grandparents, and certainly your great-great-grandparents, davened every tefillah of their lives in the same bench chair next to the same people. Can you imagine how powerful that is to daven every single day? Because you lived in a small shtetl, and you didn't travel anywhere, and there was no planes, and there was no 13 shuls. You just walked into your place, and you sat next to Shimon, and Yankel, and Pinkel, and Schminkel, and Dinkel. And you just sat there and davened all your tefillos, saying, today, that's gone, guys. That's gone. If you want to daven three times a day with a minyan, you have to be an acrobat. Catch the early minyan here, and then travel to the city and catch shachris there to beat traffic, and then catch the late minyan Maariv. And you know when you can still accomplish that, guys? And I said, every time I interview a boy for the yeshiva, I ask him, what do you daven on Shabbos? And 50% of the time, you know the answer I get? And it breaks my heart. I have to like hold it back. It's not fair to show the boy disappointment. It's not his fault. The boy will say, oh, we daven mincha here. We daven Shachar and Mincha Val Shabbos here, and Shachar is there, and Mincha Shabbos afternoon here, and Maariv there. And you finally have one day that you can condense all your tefillos into one location and daven next to the same people, 4 or 5 tefillos a day. And for the extra 5-minute walk or the extra 5 minute in the snow, you're going to compromise that? So you're still your parents' child, and you can't really determine where you daven. But one day, when you're an adult, please remember this message. People have told me they remember this message 20 years later. I'm sowing these messages into your imagination. It's worth it on Shabbos to walk an extra 10 minutes just to daven in the same place, all your tefillos, because that's your last chance, your only chance to recreate Makom Kavua. Makom Kavua is a lost art. We travel, we run, we're too peripatetic, anachnu zazim yoter midai, nirim midai, ratzim midai, ein makom kavua, ein makom katan, ha'olam shelenu hitrachev, hitnapach, it swell. Mod kasher l'rakeh is to focus kol ha'tefillot shelenu b'makom echad. But that's why your grandparents are much better daveners than we are. I don't think they're better kavana than us, but they just knew what it was. The shul people, these old guys just come to shul all the time. I don't think they have such great kavana. But they felt like they're standing in front of Hashem. You're walking into the base of Hashem. And that's Avram's tefillah. Yes, Shlomo. Yosef, I'm sorry. I don't know. Too many grammars in my head. Yes.
Do you think it's better to like go to a separate minion, another minion, and say Shlomo Marv, and help them get a minion, or go to
your
separate?
Sure, once you're contributing to someone else, Shiva, separate minion, army, whatever, of course. But your regular daily routine to be standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Makom Kavua. Okay, number one. Number two, how does Yitzchak daven? Source number two, but it's a Yitzchak. What's the Eze Mila mitaeret et ha-tfilah shel Yitzchak? Lasuach basada shuvba mila muzara, strange. Zar, muzara, strange. Lama v'yetze Yitzchak lasuach basada v'yetze Yitzchak litpalel basada v'daber mashem basada. Masuach, what does sicha mean?
Conversation.
Second biggest mistake boys make. Rabbi, I can't daven to Hashem. I've got so much on my mind. My tests, and my future, and my parents, and my health, and my brother, and my sports, and my... I got to empty my mind so that I can daven. No. Talk to Hashem about that. Talk to Hashem about that. Because it's a conversation. And when you have a conversation, you're talking to someone about everything. You're not just asking or praising, you're just having a conversation. Just talk to Sheva, whatever's on your mind. Now, will it match the brachos? No. But you know what, guys? The biggest mistakes in frumkeit are guys that try to do too much. You're 15 years old, you're 16 years old. If you're able to focus on Hashem, and share with Hashem everything that's on your heart, even if you're not thinking exactly what the word Tzemach David Abdecha means, you're fine. I'm happy. Don't try to be too frum. Biggest mistake guys make at this age, try to be too frum. Someone's gotten to a car with my Rebbe Rav Amital. And he said, Rebbe, should I be wearing wool tzitzis? Because in the Machlokas we showed him whether your tzitzis, the strings are wool, but does the fabric, the garment have to be wool? There are three shittos. The Rambam says it has to be wool. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like most we've shown him, that it can be cotton. Fishnet, machlokas taposkin, or Moshe Feinstein, or Avad Yosef. So, fishnet is a machlokas. But cotton, you yotz according to Shulchan Aruch, but wool tzitzis is what the Rambam sheet is. So, should I be wearing wool tzitzis? Because the Shulchan Aruch says the Yerei Shemayim wears wool tzitzis. So my Rebbe told this person in the car, he says, oh, you're reading the Shulchan Aruch differently from the way I'm reading it. You're reading the Shulchan Aruch, if you want to be a Yerei Shemayim, wear wool tzitzis. You know what I'm reading it? If you are a Yerei Shemayim, put on wool tzitzis. You don't leap up to be a Yerei Shemayim through quick stitches. You want to be a Yerei Shemayim, work on your Ben Adam L'Chaver, work on your brachas, work on your Kibbut Avayim. Work on the little things. It used to be, a long time ago, that when we heard about a gadol that has a chumrah, you know what the response was? Wow, that's really impressive. That person's really special. I'm inspired. You know what today the response is? Oh, I got to take that chumrah. That's not true. Just because gadolim have a chumrah doesn't mean that you should take that chumrah. It's off. It doesn't make sense for you. Should I prove it to you? Let me tell you, the biggest gadol took the biggest chumrah. If anyone else would take it, it would be offensive and arrogant and cocky and despicable. What am I talking about? It's the biggest chumrah. Bigger than Rav Shapter. Bigger than Rav Aaron.
Moshe.
What was Moshe's chumrah? Very good. I can't be with my wife. I got to be ready for Hashem. I got to be in a constant state of nevuah. Can you imagine if I did that? Oh, yeah, me too. That was my chumrah. You're laughing. It would be disgusting. I'm on Moshe Rabbeinu. Between me and Moshe Rabbeinu, there's 25 Grand Canyon. Let me first traverse those. It's like, play in your space. Play in your role. Stop play acting. Be who you are. Then you can really be in touch with yourself, and it's real Avodas Hashem. So right now, yeah, what I'd like you to think, Samach David Avdecha, what pasuk in Yeshayah it's based on, and what the Lashon is, first know what Sefer Yeshayah is, but we'll try to take care of that at some point. And what the continuity of the brachas are, but just share with Hashem, and you know why it's so hard to daven. Here's the real answer, guys, okay? Tonight, I'm going out with my wife, with my parents, we'll take my parents out tonight, but let's say we'd be coming home to dinner at the table. I haven't seen my wife the whole night. I mean, we got up in the morning, she ran, I ran. Tonight when I come home, we eat dinner. Am I going to go like this? Pass the salt. Have kavana. How was your day? I'm going to talk to her. Why? Because we've lived our lives together the whole day. We've checked in a few times. What's that? Who's taking care of this? Who's taking care of that? You're doing this? You're doing that? So she's been in the background with my life the whole day. And then when I see her, she becomes the foreground. So I don't have kavana. That's what tefillah is meant to be. Your whole life, Hashem's in the background. Guys, Shavisi Hashem Lenegi Summit does not mean this. Please listen carefully to me, at least at your age. Shavisi Hashem Lenegi Summit doesn't mean thinking about Hashem. That is not Shavisi Hashem. When you're playing basketball, please don't think about Hashem. Think about putting the ball in the hoop. When you're driving, please don't think about Hashem. Think about driving carefully, okay? If any of your rabbis tell you when you're driving, think about Hashem, please. Change schools. You take driving classes soon. One day you'll be a surgeon. Think about Hashem. Please don't be my surgeon, okay? If you're a surgeon, you're my surgeon. Please think about which leg you're cutting and how much you're taking out, okay? Don't say, oh, think about Hashem. I cut the wrong leg off. That's not a big deal. You are thinking about what you're doing. But the question is, why are you driving carefully? Why are you playing ball properly? Why are you a good surgeon? Why are you a good husband? Because Hashem wants you to be. Hashem's in the background. Hashem's framing your life. And then Hashem's in the background, and bam, three times a day. Now, my wife. Now, know what it's like, guys? Imagine you open Word on your computer. I don't know how long it takes you to open Word, but let's say 2 seconds, depending on your browser. You've got 2 seconds. What if you had Word minimized in the bottom tray? And you just maximize it. How long does it take? Nothing. It's just right there. That's what should be said on the 97 is. Hashem is minimized, and then Tefillah is maximized. Hashem is always running in the background, but then you're doing a lot of other things that Hashem wants you to do. And then you daven, and you just, okay. Yitzchak always had Hashem in the background. When he was in the field, he was cutting grains. You weren't thinking about maybe Yitzchak was. He was different, but he was thinking about not cutting his finger off. He was thinking about how to process the grains. But he was doing it in the right way, because Hashem wants you to live life the right way. So much of Avodas Hashem is just doing what you do otherwise because Hashem wants you to do it. So many guys come over to me before summer and say, hey, Rebbe, I'm going to be a counselor in camp. How can I continue my Avodas Hashem? They say, well, what did you do last year when you were a counselor? I was a really good counselor. They say, well, just be a good counselor this year also, but this year do it because you're an Avodas Hashem. Do the same thing. It's not that much different. Life is pretty much the way you'd want to lead it. It's just the framing is because I'm not a good Hashem. So I do the right thing. I pay my taxes. I drive properly. I'm a good husband. Kind to people. I eat with dignity. I study Hashem's word. I try to change the world. Try to smile at people. That sounds like a pretty good life. But I'm doing it because I think Hashem really wants me to lead that life. So, and then 3 times a day, I say, Hashem, I'm putting my life on hold. I want to talk to you. This is what's on my mind. So don't be worried if these ideas come into your field. I know one day you'll be a big tzaddik and you'll be able to have kavanah b'chem. Just think about the mouth of Malchayim Lachem. Think about talking to Hashem. What's on your mind? What's in your heart? And bring Hashem into the room. And then you'll get there. Okay? It's a little bit late, so let's hold off on Yaakov. Okay? We'll talk about Yaakov some other time. Okay. Today's topic, we're skidding ahead to Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. For the rest of the week, we're going to talk about Sefer Torah. We talked about how to write. If any of you want to come over, I bought the Rosh book. A couple of guys asked me about if you separate the roof of the Ches, why is it in Chok Tachas? So I'll show you the Rosh book, I'll show you the Ram. But today, we're going to talk about the Kriyas HaTorah. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the last 8 Sukkim in the Torah, why they're different. The Torah is a Teal, so Wednesday. And then Thursday, we'll talk about the Mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. So the rest of this week is Sefer Torah country. Next week is Tefillin. The week after is Mezuzah. Afterwards, it's Sizzle. So I'm trying to give you a week of every one of these little topics. So today we're going to talk about Kriyas HaTorah. A lot of sources. Don't be scared. We'll read them together in the Beis Medrash. But we're going to talk about the Rav today. The Rav has this really, really famous approach to Kriyas HaTorah. And it's going to be a little bit of a different shiur. I'm not going to give you these two ways to do each halacha and then after me. We're going to just listen. Let's bring the Rav into the room. Let's bring the Rav Soloveitchik into the room. The Rav redefined Kriyas HaTorah. When did it start? What's its purpose? Is it just a setup? Is it just an opportunity for us to learn Torah together? So today, we learned the first section of Matos, up to Olshemi, together. Or it's something a little different. It's not just learning together in Sipur, it's something a little different. What are we trying to do when we get together and read the Torah? So Moshe Rabbeinu was Misakin Kriyas HaTorah. I think I shortened the Gemara about commentaries and what you get to in these sources. But just to give you the background, Moshe's Takana of Kriyas HaTorah was a little bit non-structured. You could have three people reading, one person reading. The structure that we have today was Ezra. When Ezra came back from Golos, Ezra said there has to be three Aliyos, 10 Psukim, 4 on Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh, 5 on the 6 on Yom Kippur, 7 on Shabbos. So Ezra made it much more structured. So let's take a look at the Gemara in Bava Kama. Look at the language of the Rambam. The Rambam uses the language Shmiyas HaTorah. What's the Rambam trying to accomplish by using the word Shmiyas HaTorah? Okay?
Okay.
I'm going to read now. There's a lot of psukim today, so it's easier today to read psukim than Rambams. Let's all read the Yishalmi source number 4, because Yitzhak is not here today. And this is a hard Yishalmi, because you may not be able to understand on your own. Very often, Gemaras bring halachas, but sometimes they bring stories. Stories are always a great, good way to demonstrate the halachas. So let's read two stories. Rosh Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, source 4. All, means he went up, Allah, L'knishta Chama, he went into a shul, one shul, Knishta, Knesses. Chad Bar Nash Kayim, Echad Bar Enosh. Very often in Yishami, the Aleph's are deleted. Echad Bar Enosh, Chad Bar Nash, one person, Echad Bar Enosh. Kayim, he got up. Mitargim, and here was the Mitargim. What was the Mitargim? Also, anyone ever dominated a Yemenite show?
Yeah.
They still have a Mitargim. So read till Shane, and the Mitargim will get up. It's hard to understand because we don't really understand Yemenite Hebrew that well. It's really, really long dominant. You don't want to dominate a Yemenite show for like a long part. It takes like an hour and a half for Kriyas HaTorah. For Pinchas, for Nasa. If you want to visit a Yemenite show, make sure it's Vayelech.
What should
they
read it in?
No, they'll read it in Targums. Building the Targum intervals.
Oh.
But they'll actually get up and read the Targum very slowly. So this Mitargim, which they all had, got up. Samoch Lamuda, he was leaning. Remember we talk about leaning, he wasn't standing upright. Amar Leiser of Shmuel, the visitor, told him, Asur Lecha, you can't be leaning. Kishim Shenitna Ve'im up here, just like the Torah was delivered, and people were fearful and trembling. Kach Adesuja Lemo. Rev Shmuel Barad Yitzchak, Allah Kinesh Techama. Line number 3. The same of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak walking to another shul. Koyim Mitargim, the Mitargim got up to relay the Targum. V'lo Mekim Barnash Tachtoi. He got up alone. It was only him. It wasn't a second person standing there. Amar Lei, so Shmuel Bar Yitzchak told him, Asa Lecha, you can't do that. Kishem Shalidna Yidei Sirsor. What's a Sirsor? Middleman. Who was the middleman who delivered Torah to us?
Moshe.
Moshe Yidaber V'Halokim. And then Reuva Kol. So Moshe was the middleman. When we read the Torah, there has to be a middleman, which is why there's a minhag to have what?
The God.
We'll talk about the God by later. So these are two stories. How do these stories help us better understand Kriyas HaTorah? Easy share today. Easy share. Okay, a lot of easy sources. Some Sukkim. Pasuk in Nehemiah. Nehemiah is in the end of Treyasar. Ezra and Nehemiah are the same sefer. Ezra and Nehemiah came back together after the second Beis HaMikdash. Sadly enough, how many Jews came back with him? 42,000 people. Most people stayed in Babel. Why did they stay in Babel? Rashi says in Kiddushin, because the money was too good and the terror of Israel was too frightening. So decided to stay in Babel. And because they stayed in Babel, you guys are in the Israeli rather than in the Israeli army. That's the difference. If we were to come back, then we won't be Israeli. Everything over the last 2,000 years would not have happened, says the Gemara in New York. Okay, well, that for another time. Shir is at 11:40 today, okay? 11:40, because we need a little extra time. 11:40, okay? Anyone have extra sets of sheets for me?
You have one.
Everyone here? Okay. Anyone else need sheets?
No?
Okay.